Well, hey everybody, welcome back to Braving the Journey. I am your host, Zach Mathers. And hey, I want to just share with you guys today's episode. I have Brendan Watt on, and he is, oh man, this guy does a lot. He's a facilitator of workshops all around the world that empowers others to know that anything is possible and that they're one choice away from change. He's a speaker, entrepreneur, business life mentor. Brendan is a facilitator of several Access Conscious programs and is a co-author best-selling book called The Relationships, Are You Sure You Want One? So Brendan and I today, guys, we talk a lot about how it works to be present. What is it? How do we begin to understand consciousness? What is it? How do we learn to quiet ourselves enough to hear truth? So I'm excited for you guys to get a chance to listen to the conversation, dive into the conversation with us. But before I do that, I want to just share one thing. So this last month of January, I had the 30-day sober challenge out there, and I offered it because of dry January, completely free. And I had a ton of people get a chance to go through the program. And I want to just encourage you, if you didn't take the chance to go through it in January, it is available all the time. Pretty simple. You go to bravingthejourney.com. And when you get onto the website, you'll follow it to 30 Day Sober Challenge, sign up, and you will start getting emails every single day from me. But one more. That's one. Two, here's my second. I'm really excited. So in the show notes, there's this new app out there called Arly. And in the show notes, you'll find a place to go download the app directly from my link. And right now it is 100% free with inside the app. But what it is, Arly is a place that helps you from people that have walked through it, whether it's getting sober or learning to just control drinking, they have walked the road and they give their wisdom and advice, and you can do like daily motivations. You can go through small courses. It is just packed full, and I've had the privilege to get to be a guide for them. And so make sure, go to the show notes, download Arly. You guys, there's tons of information in there. Check it out. Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to Braving the Journey. I'm excited today for you guys to get a chance to just sit, and I am talking with Brendan Watt. And I just want to say, man, thank you taking the time to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Zach, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, and so one of the things I like to do a lot of times before we even dive into your story and kind of just see where the conversation goes is, for me, I think it's a selfish thing. I like to do it for myself, but I like to take a minute and just, I want you to share one and I'll share one. Just one thing today that you're grateful for.
Oh, that's an awesome question. I love that. You know, I was just at two of my best friends' house, and just being around them is just a gift every time. To have two people in my life that don't judge me, I would say right now I'm grateful for that.
I like that. That is huge. All right. For me, it's funny. After I asked the question, I realized I haven't really, some days I'm really good about thinking about it.
On the spot.
Yeah, I did. I was like, man, but I mean, there's always things to be grateful for, but a lot of times I've been working hard to try to look at like, what am I internally grateful for? Not just externally. It's easy to say like, you know, my house or the, you know, whatever, but it's like, I'm grateful. I am grateful that I have space in my day to be able to kind of chase after what I'm passionate about, if that makes sense. Like I do a mixture of all different kind of work things, and like, you know, I have my hands in a lot of projects, but I like that I have the freedom to be able to choose what I do with my days.
That's cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think that's mine. Well, okay. I want to hear about you. You know, I want to hear about, you know, your story of just being this struggling tradesman to now all of a sudden we're, you know, you're a global speaker, co-author of a book, you know, you're traveling, talking, all these different components, but it usually doesn't happen this like, oh, I just overnight was there.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm going to let you kind of just take the floor and just share with me like your story.
Cool. Well, I grew up in Australia. And basically from being a kid, you know, and starting school, I, from a young age, just started trying to fit in. but always knowing there was something different about me. And I don't know what that was. I just was like, I don't seem to fit. And so for me, what I did was I spent, you know, a lot of school trying to fit in. How do I have to act? What do I have to do? And listening to people, basically listening to how I should live my life. And so I was doing that. And I did, you know, I did school and then was like, oh, I better get a girlfriend. I better get a relationship. You know, did that, got a trade. And I have a son. He's almost 17 now, but had him when I was 24. And just, I was 30 and I just left his mother. And I was just like, what happened to any joy in my life? Like I was unhappy. And
yeah.
But unhappy, hated my life. But at that point, it was more so the thing that I couldn't cope with was that I hated myself. I just didn't like who I'd become. And I was struggling with that. And I just started asking. I was like, something needs to change. I was basically at that point doing everything I could to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I just started asking something, please change. Cause I knew at that point I knew that it wasn't going to be long and something I was going to do something really stupid. And I found Access Consciousness and they were just, you know, doing these kind of like a self-help thing, but a little different. And I just went to one of these seminars. I first of all got this thing called the Access Consciousness Bars, and it's this body process. I first of all got that with this girl, and it changed something in me. And I went, oh, wow. And I just got some more space in my world and then started doing these seminars. And then before I knew it, my life was like changing big time. And
I want to get there. Cause I'm like, I have tons of questions about this Access Consciousness, Access Bars, all this stuff. But like, how did, from the very beginning, right? Like back up for a minute when, you know, you were a kid and you were aware that you were different and you just didn't fit in.
Yeah.
Now older, looking back, were you ever able to like pinpoint going like, what was it? Like that just made you feel out of place in that way.
No. Well, it was like at a young age, you know, like 4 or 5, just before starting school, it was just hypersensitive. Like I would be crying at everything, but not even from sadness, like not like from that, but also just kind of feeling wrong and not quite knowing how to deal with it. Just going like, you know, but also, I mean, I was in a family that my dad was really abusive and I was around a lot of abusive people. So it was just like, I was looking at that just going, what is this place? Like, and as a kid, just not understanding any of it.
So how'd you begin to cope with all that before you got all the way to the space where you're introduced to Access Consciousness and that kind of stuff? But like, what was the means of coping through life?
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Partying. You know?
I feel like alcohol is a big answer for, you know, a lot of people. It's just kind of that, like, it numbs out the world just enough to cope with it, I guess.
Well, I did that. And like, you know, younger days, it was weed and different things. And it was just whatever I could to escape, basically, to escape my life. And just, it was, you know, you'd have a few drinks and you'd just be like, it'd take the edge off. And it was awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yes, I don't have to, I don't have to judge myself. And you'd even like have this, for me, like I have this sense where I'd almost start liking myself again. And I didn't even realize there wasn't something that would pinpoint, like from the outside was the thing. Like from the outside, I mean, I had a beautiful girlfriend, got this young kid, got, you know, a trade business. So from the outside, people would go, oh, like what a beautiful family. And well, you know, like he looks like he's got his shit together and his life's working, but on the inside, it was pain and suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, you weren't happy with the situation you're in. You weren't happy with yourself, you know? And
yeah,
it's so funny how we so easily can put on But even unintentionally, this kind of facade of like, man, life's fine on the outside, right?
Yeah.
And the reality is that, you know, we just never know what's going on inside somebody. That, you know, that's a reality I've learned, is like everybody's dealing with something. So
true story. And, you know, and we oftentimes, like, I mean, if we look at the people that we've learned to live from,
yeah,
you know, a lot of us didn't have a great sense of, you know, somebody in our lives that kind of encouraged us to be us. I mean, for me, it was definitely not about being me. My dad was, you know, if you got to become a man, and an Australian man is you're rough, you're tough, you're, you know, that was his idea. You play football, you drink beer, you know, all this bullshit that was not me.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't me. And I was trying to fit into all these molds that other people had, and just losing me in the meantime.
No, man, that's so true. I mean, like I have three kids, you know, my kids' ages are 13, 8, and 5, but they're all different, right?
Right.
And even if I tried to mold them into being like the same kid, that it's just impossible. Different desires, different things that bring them alive. And so it's like learning, like, you know, I always thought my kids would grow up playing soccer because I did, and none of them want to, you know, and it's okay, you know. So it's like learning to be like, who are they? Like, who are they designed to be? Because they're uniquely designed. No one in the world's them. So I get a job as a parent to figure out, like, how do I nurture that and not hinder it?
What a gift, though. I mean, I don't know if you grew up with a dad like that, but it's like, you know, I talk to a lot of parents, but also, you know, a lot of people that were kids, you know, a lot of people don't have that in life where it's like, how do I nurture this? How do I nurture this creature into being everything that they are, that uniqueness, that gift, that whatever the difference that they are?
Yeah. Well, I think honestly, like one of my desires is like, not just for my family, but for like the just human race, is that we learned that it's okay to be unique. Because like, the simple put, like, Brandon, you are the only you in this world, right?
Yeah,
so like, so nobody is you. And so when you live into the full potential of who you are, you bring something to the world that nobody else can. But when you try to mimic and become somebody else, or do it the way someone else did it, or, you know, then the world misses out on you, basically. And so, like, I mean, that's, for me, that's my passion, is to go like, how do we cut through all the bullshit and figure out what is our identity and who we're meant to be, and then live into it, you know? And so,
well, I think a lot of people find it, you know, a little uncomfortable to truly, like, to get honest with yourself. Like, for me, there's things that, you know, they didn't match. There's things that I started learning about myself that didn't necessarily match the image that I put forth. So then it's like, then you that starts shattering, and you're like, oh, like, what are people going to think of me? And, but, you know, you've got all this shit that goes through our heads.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what do you find more valuable? You know, what are you going to take value in? And that's what I looked at. Okay, am I going to make it more valuable to actually have me, or am I going to make it more valuable to live somebody else's life? And that's where, you know, it started changing.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So let me ask you on the drinking part of life. Yeah. Was that something that you were like, man, I think I have a problem with this? Or was that something that you just, once you got connected with access consciousness and that kind of stuff, that you realized, like, this doesn't serve me? Or, you know, what was your relationship like, I guess, with that?
Oh, yeah, no, it wasn't like, you know, I would party hard, you know, younger and stuff like that. But kind of had a sense there was something, because it was always like, you know, friends of mine would be like, we'd drink, you know, basically, and they'd be, the next day would just be done with it for however long. I'd be like wanting more.
Yeah.
And so there was something off with me. Like, I knew there was something not quite right there. But it was, I think for me, it kept going and kept going. And it was the last few years that I was basically using it once again to medicate myself from the world.
Yeah.
And I stepped into a big role in Access Consciousness, like started working with these guys, but then became became one of four speakers in this company that travels the world and does these bigger seminars. And I was like, how, like, I was like, okay, now shit's getting real, you know? Yeah. And so for me, I'd go and facilitate a seminar for 3 days in front of however hundreds of people or whatever and be like on. But then at the end, it was like this, go from this high to now what, you know? So I'd be one person, I'd be there to contribute to everybody, you know, and contribute to changing people's lives. And then when it came to me, I was like, just still on that self-destruction.
Yeah. When did that finally shift, do you think, for you? Where you actually were able to become aware of that and start making the change?
The start of last year was like, oh, this is, I knew, I started getting the sense that if I keep going, I'm going to lose all of this.
Yeah.
This future that I've been building and the people that I'm here to support, I'm not going to be there for them. And yeah. It wasn't until I'm 5 months sober now. And it wasn't until 5 months ago when I had, you know, I was drinking and I was just like, and I really started getting that sense of the destruction, but I also got a glimpse of what my future could be like if I stopped. And that was after that bender, because it was a bender, you know, like they were all turning into, that was it. I just went, you know, enough, done.
Yeah. That's huge. And man, and 5 months, I always look at sobriety, man. Every day is a big deal, right? Because you just have a choice. Every day we have a choice what we're going to choose to do with it. And so, and honestly, for me, the discovery, like I'm 2 years sober. I've probably been in the recovery journey, maybe 10 years. But just couldn't link it together. It'd be a month and I'd drink and I'd, you know, have 2 months and I had to go out and drink. And, you know, I just kind of, it wasn't until I fully committed to a shift in my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like the clear, like it's more so it's like it got rid of something in my head that I had to go like that consumed up too much space and time. Then it freed me to be able to be like, wow, I can be me. I can be me and I'm okay. And I like me. And, know, and I got space to think about me, you know? And so it is fun. I want to hear, okay. So I want to hear we've thrown out this access consciousness a few times and I want for the listeners to get a chance to go like, so what is it? Like, help me understand it.
Well, basically it's a bunch of, crazy people. No, I'm kidding.
everything is. You just get a bunch of people together.
Yeah, no shit, right? But it's a bunch of tools and processes and stuff that can change any area of your life that's not working. But basically, to get you in question again, you know, like a lot of us live our lives from the answer and the conclusion and the result and all of this, like actually getting in question and starting to receive from a different way. Like one of the things that I knew was different about me as a kid was I believe in magic. I was like, you know, like there's got to be more out there than just what we see.
Yeah.
There's got to be, we've got to, you know, like you living in Hawaii, being with the ocean, it's like the ocean to me as a kid and growing up, magical place. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was not, like to me, the ocean was not of this world. The way that I was connected to it and the way that it, there was no me in the ocean. It was just one. It was you're in it, you are it. And that was not many other people's point of view that I was around at the time. So I was like, okay, weird. But this basically, the, you know, like the idea of consciousness is we are all connected, you know, and we are all one. And we create ourselves based on separation, which basically what we do is in order to create separation between us, we've got to create it from ourselves first. And that was as that started changing. So I was Aussie bloke to the extreme, tradesman, and you know, you would look, it was just, you know, the that was just me or who I thought I was. And when I read this ad in the paper that said, "All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory, call Mel," and I was just like, "What?" And I called this girl, and this is when I got this session, and something like she did this thing called the Access Consciousness Bars, which basically is these 32 points on the head, and they start deleting shit out of your basically out of your head. You know, all the beliefs that we have and all of this stuff. This girl put her hands on my head and I sobbed for an hour and a half and just lost it. It was all of this stuff that I'd locked into my world that I hadn't talked to anyone about. And I was talking to this girl about it. And from that day forward, it's like, you know, I started going to class, going to seminars and different things like that. And it's gone from, you know, that was 12 years ago to just facilitating it around the world and watching people's lives change. But basically just this different perspective on things. Like there's a lot of stuff out there. I've done, I did metaphysical things and different things, but nothing really got me free.
So define, when you say consciousness, like, define that for me. What does that mean?
Like, I love that because you try and find a definition out there and everyone's like, you know, it's
like, well, I know. I want to get like a baseline of like where I'm like, because everyone could have a different perspective on what consciousness even is, right?
Yeah. Well, our definition of it is where everything and everyone is included and nothing and no one is judged. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that matched the energy of the life and living. And even bigger than that, the way I'd like the planet to be more of, you know, like that kindness. And that was one of the things that was the hardest for me to not have access to anymore was this like softness in my world, like kindness and wanting to contribute to people. And I got to a point, and even with the drinking and stuff, where it was like basically, you know, I just excluded the world. I just was like, leave me alone. Just, I want to be alone. I'm just, you know, and I'd lost that drive and that desire to, you know, to be that kid who was like, you want some of my candy? You know, you want to borrow my surfboard? You want, like, it's like, come sleep at my house. Like, you know, just wanting to gift to people. And I'd lost the desire to be that. And that was, got to a point where it just wasn't good enough for me anymore.
Yeah. And that's what I mean, everything I understand about change, it takes us getting to a spot where we go, you know, you almost have, it's got to hurt enough to want it. You know, it's got to hurt enough to like internally for you to go like, man, I want change. Like I'm not satisfied with my life and who I am, you know? And so, I love that kind of definition you gave. But well, the idea that nothing or no one is judged, I'm like, man.
Yeah.
If we could live in a world where we didn't judge each other, like if we not and didn't judge ourselves, right? Like found grace for ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we just saw the like you said, it brings you back to that childlike state. Like I watch my kids, my little girls, they don't judge anybody. They just go run. They just go run and play, and they'll play, and then they come back. I'm like, "Who was that?" They're like, "I don't know. Just played with them, you know." And I'm like, "We need to learn to live in that freedom of like, I can interact and talk and play and be in connection to anybody, right?"
Yeah, and that's it. And that's what we eliminate with the judgment is we. As soon as you go to judgment, you've already created a separation. So that's why kids are connected to nature a lot more. They are connected to the earth. They are connected to the ocean. They're connected to people a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we have that and we don't lose it, but we stop choosing it.
Yeah. I think whatever, like the damage or the traumas or the wounds that we get, you know, slowly pile up where we just, we get kind of bitter to the world.
And it's like, I mean, once again, it's like, look at what they, you know, if you look at the world right now, it's designed to create separation. They're trying to create it. Yeah. And it's like, it's got to be, this is where you can either choose to go along with it or go, you know what would I, like for me, what I look at is what kind of a world would I like to be in?
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't have as much, well, and I say as much because trying to get rid of all the judgment, that's a big job, but you know, a lot more kindness and where people are actually contributing to each other and we have a lot more space and, you know, and things like that. But when I ask that, I realize that if I'm not willing to be it myself in my world, then that's where I'm not really asking for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, otherwise it just becomes this idea, if you're not one to live it out in your world and for yourself, right? Like for you, like if you, like talking to myself, like if I'm not able to extend this non-judgment upon my own life,
yeah,
like, and start at home, start with me, start with my own self, there's no, I'm not going to be able to, it's just a fake to go out and do it to others, right?
Well, so. Exactly. And it's like, and I mean, it's really not as hard as you think it is either. Like, you know, you look at it, and even somebody like for myself was massively in judgment of myself. I'm not out of it. I mean, I still have moments where I'm judging myself and, you know,
yeah,
doing that. But it's like, what I realize now is it is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, so choice has become a massive, recognizing that choice creates has become a massive gift in my life, because I, rather than, okay, now I need to get to this distant future in one choice, I go, okay, so what small choice could I make right now that would give me more of me, you know, or create more of this? Or so it starts opening up the space in your world rather than the judgment of there's something wrong with me because I'm not already there yet.
That's good, man. Because yeah, I have like a 30-day sober challenge out, and one of the days of exercise is you write out your eulogy. You just
love that,
right? Like what you want, you write out everything that you want your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, everyone in your world to say when you die. Because if we don't know what that is, then like what you said, like then we get a reverse engineer and go, what's a small, almost like that we barely see thing that I could do today to start moving in that direction, right?
Yeah, sure. You know? I love it. That's awesome.
And then for me, that's the space where like, that's the space where grace can happen. That's the space where you go, I know where I want to be, but I'm not there. And it's going to take my lifetime to probably try to get there.
Yeah.
But I'll do what I can, small things today. And some of those days I'm going to fail. Some of those days I'm going to say, I'm going to do something and be, you know, a little better in this. And I'm just not, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that thing of that failing thing, that's what stops a lot of us. You know, we'd rather not fail than choose something greater. And it's like, my point of view is, you really need to be willing. If you're going to have a greater life, you've got to be willing to screw it up.
Yeah.
You know, and learn from it and go, okay, well, that didn't work. You know, and enjoy it, but enjoy it. Like, enjoy the screw ups and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for me, I know I'm an idiot a lot of the times.
Yeah. And learn from them, right? Like, that was my thing. Like, especially when it came to like my drinking, like, if I messed up and drank, I got so down on myself that I would spiral into this shame and guilt. And like, I remember one time going to this meeting, and this guy, old guy, looks at me and he goes, I don't know how you keep showing up. I could never have done it. Like, he's like, you fail so much, but you keep showing up. And he meant it as a nice thing, right? He meant it as this compliment of like, dude, I'm impressed you keep showing up. Yeah. And, but it was, I think, like, to be honest, like for me, what finally got it was the fact that I wasn't willing to give up. I was willing to try anything. And if that didn't work, then take what was good from it and add it, and then take what wasn't and just kept compiling things that worked and things that didn't until I figured out what worked for me, you know?
And that as well, until you figure out what works for you. Because we have no idea. Like if somebody says, you know, who are you? You know, you go, I don't know. Like, I'm me. Yeah. You know, what kind of a life would you like to have? We don't really know, but that's the beautiful thing about living.
Yeah,
is creating it as you go. And, you know, and our lives change. And the idea that you're going to get to a point, you're going to have the perfect relationship, perfect amount of money, you're going to have the perfect family, you're going to have the perfect business. We keep like striving for perfection, which is the thing that keeps us judging ourselves rather than, you know what, I'm going to live.
Yeah. And then like, let's just be honest. Like, I don't think there's a perfect out there. In this world in which we live, we let media tell us what they think it should be, but who's to say that's it, you know? And yeah, exactly.
And that's why, like, even with, you know, like where a lot of us have gone with social media and different things like that, it's like you look at somebody and you're like, oh my God, they got a perfect life. It's like, yeah, not really. Like if you actually meet somebody like that, you know, they've got pain and suffering in their world. They may appear to have their shit together, but none of us do.
No.
Like, I mean, I facilitate these classes and stuff like that. I have shit going on all the time.
Yep.
But no, it's like, that's living.
And I think that's the beauty of just the kind of hearing you say that. It's like, you can still give back to the world and still be okay being a mess trying to figure out, you know, it's like, I think people need to hear that more, that like, it's not like you have to wait till you get everything figured out in your life.
Yeah.
And then I'll be generous and nice to the world and be kind and start being, no, like you start now. And like in that, you know, you'll grow and keep working, but like, it's just a progression of life. So.
Yeah. And you speak to things the way that I speak to things as well. It is. Cause you know, a lot of us go, well, let me get all the lights to turn green before I move. And it's like, and so we stop ourselves.
Yeah.
And then you don't get to what it is you desire, rather than enjoying every moment of your life, like enjoying the choices that you make. And like you started this with the gratitude, it's like, because even I notice sometimes when I forget about that, you know, and I've got the shits or I'm fucking carrying on about something.
Yeah.
It's like, and you're like, wait a minute, what am I actually grateful for? And it's, you cannot judge and have gratitude. They don't coexist. So you live a life of having more gratitude. You're already, you know, creating something different.
Well, and it's such a simple exercise, right? Like just write down what you're grateful for. Simple concept. I go days without doing it though. And then you kind of get grumpy and you're like, what's going on? And and then you're like, oh yeah, I forgot to change the perspective of how I see my world. You know,
what's some of the other exercises you got, like with the 30
with the challenge? Well, so like for me, it's a belief that, so the whole challenge kind of compounds on itself, meaning like it starts with like, we have to accept where we are to be able to move anywhere. And I had a really hard time with that idea because I didn't want to accept I had a problem with drinking. I just, cause I thought if I accepted that meant I settled for that's where I was going to be. That's how I viewed acceptance. So we talk at the whole beginning is kind of this journey of like kind of figuring out like how do you accept, not settle, but accept where you are? Because if you can't, then you're never going to be able to create a roadmap because you don't know where you're at.
Yeah.
And then it kind of moves into more exercises in the discovery of kind of like, who are you? Like, what is your identity? And I do some kind of like meditation practices, and I call it like a listening time where you're learning to listen to the still voice inside of you, this little voice that's always been there, always will be, but we just are too loud to hear it. So teaching people how to ask the right questions, like one of the days we talk about like how to, like when things arise, because life's going to arise, like how do I stop, take a deep breath, pause for a moment and go, and just simply ask the question of yourself going, what do I need to know about this right now and myself in this situation? And just sit silently for just a second and just go, what do I need to know? And usually if you learn, there's a practice, you learn. It's not this audible booming voice. It's just this like, oh, okay. I heard that. Now I'm going to trust it and move. Right. But it's, there's a lot of practices throughout the whole days. And the reason I call them practices is because we're not going to be good at them, but we got to just keep doing them until we get better at them. So
true story. That's awesome.
I love that. It is. It's fun for me. I mean, I love it and I put my heart into it and I just launched it recently. So I got, you know, the first big group kind of pushing through it right now, but it's fun.
Nice. That's awesome.
Talk to me about your book. I want to hear about this a little bit. Relationships. Are you sure you want one is what the book title is.
Okay. The relationship that I was in up until it ended three years ago, I think. But we wrote the book. We'd use these tools of access consciousness. We'd use those tools creating this relationship. And we created one that just, it worked. You know, it was great. Until it didn't. And we wrote that book, you know, and put a bunch of tools and stuff in there and you know, different stories and stuff to give people a sense of what they could create, but also taking it out of the idea that you need one, you know, because a lot of us, for me personally, it wasn't a question about, do I actually desire a relationship? It was, you need one. That is what you need. You got to do it.
And, yeah, the world kind of tells you that.
Yeah, right? So you don't have one and you instantaneously have the projection that there's something wrong with you. There's something missing, you know, so we're constantly trying to fill ourselves up with somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we wrote that book and just as it was being published, we ended the relationship. So our, you know, our PR agent, she had a hissy fit. She was like, yeah, how could you do this? Like we actually traveled to the US and we were on a couple of Fox News stations and stuff like that. And they're like, how is it you're writing a book on relationship when you just ended it?
Yeah.
We're like, hey, it's not about getting the relationship right. It's about tools to actually create one until you're done with it.
Yeah. I could see your PR person have a really hard time with that, being like, wait, relationship book, you guys aren't together anymore. Not sure how to spin that one and sell it.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite sure whether she's over it yet, but she still works with us and she's,
No, but what is the heartbeat or who's your audience that you're going, man, this book is for you and it's amazing. And like what is the overarching message that you come across throughout it?
I would say basically, in order to have a relationship that's honoring of both of you, you've got to have all of these elements for yourself, you know? And for me, what I did in relationship was it's like, I didn't love myself. So let me get in a relationship with somebody and then you give me the love that I'm not willing to give myself. But it was a constant projection.
Yeah.
So I was projecting at them and expecting of them. And, you know, one of the things I learned with having an expectation about anyone is you can't actually receive from them. All you can do is take. And so it's this rather than being a simultaneity of gifting and receiving, it's give and take.
Yeah.
Someone's giving, someone's taking. And in order to, you know, create something that, you know, you got two people, you should be able to create something far more phenomenal together.
Yeah.
And I see far too many relationships, and I've been in relationships where it takes away from your life. And it's like, and it doesn't have to. And it also doesn't mean that, you know, if you're in a relationship right now and you're struggling with it, that, okay, then that didn't work, you know, because what we do then is we'll get another one and usually it'll be the same thing.
Yeah, we'll bring our same stuff into the same relationship, basically, or a new relationship, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like this has got, you know, different stories from how we handled it and how we learned, but it's like Simone, who co-authored the book with me, she's a huge contribution to my life. Huge, yeah. Still is. You know, we're still awesome friends. We work together and create together, and it's just like there's a different way with everything that we can function when we're willing to kind of get out of the control, you know, get out of having to be right.
Yeah.
And you know, so yeah, it's a pretty cool book, and it's great having it out there. I think it's awesome. I wish I would have had those tools when I was a lot younger. I probably would have been a little bit different in relationship.
No, I'm a big believer in like the continual, you know, the work's never done, right? Like I've been married 16 years. I got married as like a baby. I was 21.
Wow.
And I mean, we've gone through it all. We were separated and we fought hard, tons of marriage counseling. And I look at it, I'm like, we're in a beautiful space now, but the work's not done. I still keep reading marriage books, going like, trying to figure this thing out, trying to learn how to like be fully me and fully in love with myself and bring that to the table and then let that help, you know. And it's a process and it'll be a lifelong one. So,
but and it should be, it's like, it should be, relationships should be an ongoing creation, And that's where we destroy them, is when we stop creating them and we go into like, oh, well, we've been together 5 years, 10 years, you know, and you just get up every day and go through the grind of it. And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm already bored to death.
Yep. But,
you know, if I'm not creating with somebody, then it's not much fun. So it's like, yeah, but it's never, we've got the perfect relationship, because that's another one of those images that we go for. It just doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist. Not at all. So no, and you know, and that's, I mean, like my wife and I, we've had to learn to be very intentional in like creating space to inside of our relationship to be able to go like we've learned, like, we have to dream together. We got to sit down and go, what do we want to see this year look like? Who do we want to be? Where do we want, what are you working on? What am I working on individually? You know, and like to know those things, you know, as you approach like the next month, 3 months, 6 months, and go, okay, you know, one, we know each other better. Two, we know what we're after. And then, you know how to create space and it's for each other in that. So,
well, and you also know what to contribute to. And it's like, because one of the big killers of relationship is this expectation. You know, we get into them and we've already got this perfect ideal of what this person should be and, you know, how they should act and what they should fulfill in our lives. And it's like, you've already destroyed it before you started, rather than, like you said, with your kids, where it's like, how do I nurture this person into being everything that they are?
Yeah.
That should be how relationships are.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we should be able to view it in that way of going, what can I contribute to their world to help them succeed in what they're after? Right.
Yeah. And empower them. Like,
just to be them.
Yeah. And that thing of like what we talked about before with like looking at the kind of world that you'd like to be in. I would, like, what a gift to have people who actually empower each other, like bring each other up.
Yeah.
And I get that just by talking with you in this, I'm like, I get that gift that you are being for people. And it's like, that's the kind of world that I would like to be in.
Yeah, me too. Well, okay, Brendan, I know we're coming up on time, but I'm going to ask two questions of you. One, what is the best way for people to connect to you? How do people follow you, find out what you're doing? Where do you want them to go to? What's the best?
They can go to my website, which is brendanwatt.com.
Okay.
They can get me on Instagram, you know, so all that social jargon that right. I don't know. I'm not very up to date on,
but I know.
My team is.
Good. I'll put all those links at the bottom of the show notes, guys, so check that out. Brendan, here's the question I always ask at the end of the show.
Okay.
Imagine for a second that all the social media, the news outlets, basically everything just went quiet. The world just kind of like, just all the chatter and the noise and everything that we hear all the time, just kind of just shut down. And everybody looked at you and they said, Brendan, tell us one truth that we need to know. What is it?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I just put you on the spot with it too. So
I would, I would ask people, what do you know about you and what's true for you that you haven't acknowledged? You know, and because one of the gifts is we know, you know, we do know what's true for us, but we don't really follow it. And, you know, that we will go to all of those things. So when everything goes quiet, to actually be present with yourself and look at, okay, what do I know about what's true for me that I've been seeking outside of me?
Yeah.
That I could actually, you know, acknowledge about me. And you get, like, I know for myself and seeing thousands of other people, it's like you get that one awareness of something that's true for you. It unlocks doors to everything else. And you start going, oh shit, like I actually do know. And I always have.
Yeah. That's a funny thing is I think there's so much that is inside of us that we shut down somehow, right?
Yeah.
That like once I love that. I mean, once you begin to go, man, what do I already know about myself? I need to just be aware of, and then let it out.
Yeah, and it's like, and see, we have a tool that we use that what's light, what makes you light, is what's true for you. Anything heavy is a lie, and so any judgment that you have of yourself, notice when you go to judgment, you just like feel like shit.
Yep.
you know, you get heavy in your world, well, then there's a good indication that you're going off track. You know, so if we spent our lives rather than navigating them, like, and course, rather than navigating them with judgment, if we were willing to actually go with the lightness, like, you know, when you choose something and you're just like, oh, it just lights your world up.
Yeah.
And start navigating our lives like that. And like you said before, be willing to screw up and course correct.
Yeah.
Course correct as we go.
No, I think that's a huge deal, of course, course correcting, because
yeah,
you're not going to get it right. The first time it's like you set your sights on like, that's where I want to be someday. And then you know, your path is just going to weave back and forth, trying to make it there. Right. So,
well, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, it's like, you've already asked for where you desire to be. The how you show up is the universe is already contributing to that. So yeah. It's like, now what do I need? What choices can I make that will allow me to get there? But also be willing, that thing with course correct too, is don't have it as a goal. That's what I need to get to. Tomorrow it could be different. You might go, you know what? That's not big enough for me, or I'd actually like more of this. And so you're willing to change in every moment rather than, you know, follow some decision that you make.
Oh, I agree with you. That's good. Well, Brendan, man, I want to just recognize you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your vulnerability, you know, even just sharing, like, I mean, like, I caught it where you're, you know, this part where we have a tendency, you moved to this space in your life where you were teaching these, you know, conferences and workshops and you're pouring into people, mm-hmm. but yet you internally were going, man, I need to deal with some of my stuff.
Yeah. And well, I felt like a fake. I was like, something's off here. Like, how could I be doing this? Because I still had the point of view about myself that I was worthless.
Yeah. And see, I think it's just like, I want to recognize you in that moment, because like a lot of times when people finally get to the space where they're pouring in and speaking into others and doing things for others, that they stop, like they wouldn't bring to light what you just did. They wouldn't be like, well, yeah, I'm still, you know, like, but the fact that you are willing to say like, yeah, I am 5 months sober now because I'm choosing to work on myself and I believe this about myself in the midst of it all. And now I'm changing that. Like that's how we need to live though. Right. Is like,
And that's so, like, for me, that's the kind of person I want to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, I want to listen to somebody who goes, you know what? I'm not perfect. I screw shit up too. So it's like, then I, you know, when I hear somebody like that, I'm like, oh, finally somebody who's real.
Yeah. My wife always tells me, she's like, you need to do more posts about where you're at struggling wise. I'm like, what's going on? Cause you know, like we have a tendency to portray on the social media world that like, hey, think about this, or here's a great quote, or here's this, you know? And she's like, can you just show when you suck and things are hard too? And I'm like, yeah, I need to, you know, I need to, cause that's part of it. That's part of the world. So,
and also, you know, but that's it. It's like, show every part of us.
Yeah.
You know, to the degree that you're willing to.
Yeah, I know.
It's to what's going to create the most also. But it's like, you know, I want to see people who are just going, you know what, I'm me. And that's the me I am today is not the me I was yesterday.
Yep.
And the me I'm going to be tomorrow, who knows? I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, again, Brendan, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for being on the show. Thanks for taking time. And you guys check out everything he's got going on. There's a lot. If you go to his website, I was all over it for hours today. And I was like, man, there's a lot of different things here. So I love it. Keep it up.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, you guys. I want to just say thank you. Thank you for being someone that is continually listening to Braving the Journey. And not only that, but being part of it, whether it's through Patreon and contributing financially to Braving the Journey so we could keep putting out episodes like this, whether it's someone that one of you that have recently gone through a 30-day sober challenge or is doing one-on-one coaching with me. I love getting to do all of these things. I love getting to work with people in the process and the journey of their life. And if you are somebody, there's so many different avenues that you could jump into Braving the Journey with me, from joining the 30-day sober challenge, getting involved with a one-on-one coach, download the Arlie app. I'm one of their guides within the app. And within that app, you can choose to listen specifically to different courses that I've put out there that are just specific. Only place you're ever going to find them is within the Arlie app. And that is free right now. But there, I just want to say there's a lot of different ways for you to get a chance to plug into it and go, you don't have to walk this journey alone. You know, I want to journey along this process of just discovering who you are meant to be in this life and getting rid of the things that hinder you from doing that. All right, you guys, talk to you later.